we are. This is Real World Radio on air. www.realworldradio.fm.
An example of struggle, resistance against fracking in Lancashire, England. Company Cuadrilla Resources is ready to begin in a few hours shale gas drilling works in Preston New Road, Lancashire, England. The local residents who have been opposing fracking for years received the news with deep sadness. Nevertheless, their socio-environmental struggle has inspired locals and foreigners. In 2017, mobilizations against fracking projects intensified in the area, but July marked a milestone. Religious groups, unions, environmental activists, farmers and families in general carried out massive demonstrations in the framework of what was known as a rolling resistance organized by the national movement Reclaim the Power. The direct actions even halted the general operations of Cuadrilla Resources. Real World Radio interviewed on Friday activist Barbara Richardson of the Rose Acre Awareness Group, also member of the Frack Free Lancashire movement and residents of the area where the extractive project was installed. Barbara told us about the local resistance to fracking, the concerns of the inhabitants, the need to develop renewable energies, and the context of the struggle against climate change. She also made reference to the emotional aspect of this struggle and the international support received. Along these lines, Barbara made special reference to Friends of the Earth England, Wales and Northern Ireland, and Friends of the Earth groups from different parts of Europe.
Real World Radio is interviewing Barbara Richardson. She is part of the movement Frack Free Lancashire, which is made of lots of small groups, and particularly Barbara is part of the Rose Acre Awareness Group. Barbara, first of all, really welcome to Real World Radio.
Thank you. It's lovely to talk to you.
We have known, Barbara, that the fight, the demonstrations against the fracking in the Preston New Road in Lancashire had started many, many time ago, and especially during this year you have been really there, lots of people, hundreds of people and thousands of people along the year have been demonstrating and say we don't want fracking in the country and especially in this area. But just to begin, Barbara, we know that you have some news for us today. What's happening nowadays with this fight, and what have you known about the project itself, Barbara?
Well, we've done the bad news for us today is, in fact, this week, Cuadrilla, who is the company that wants to frack at Preston New Road, have just completed the assembly of the drill, and we expect them to start drilling for shale gas next week, probably next Monday. And that will be the first time that any company will have drilled for shale gas since the earthquakes in 2011, which was the only other time that fracking has taken place in the UK. So it's a sad week for us because it looks like they're going to start drilling next week, unfortunately. The fight has been going on since 2011 in Lancashire, when Cuadrilla originally drilled a well at a place called Priest Hall. There were earthquakes, and basically the resistance has been growing since then. But more importantly, since January of 2017, Cuadrilla actually started work on the site at Preston New Road. So the resistance has been growing, and there's been daily demonstrations from that point onward.
Yeah, Barbara, we knew that July was a special month in this fight, and we are trying to get the whole picture from you, trying to know what happened, especially during July, in this battle against fracking in Lancashire. But before that, Barbara, what do you know about Cuadrilla Resources, this company which is just about to begin fracking in the area?
Cuadrilla Resources is not actually a UK company. They're mainly owned by an American company and an Australian company, AJ Lucas and Riverstone Holdings. And the UK portion, I think, is about 10%. But Quadrilla are really just doing the exploratory work. Obviously, if they find the shale gas, they're looking to move that on, obviously, to another oil or gas drilling company. They are heavily funded by, I think it's £60 million by a company called Centrica, which is actually owned by British Gas. So basically, British Gas are giving them millions of pounds to carry out the exploratory works in the UK. They actually did some work in 2011, as you know, when the earthquakes took place, but basically in 2014, that's when we were notified that they wanted to drill four exploratory wells at two different sites in the UK. The chief executive is a guy called Francis Egan, who's Irish, and they basically, I think they only have about 30 members of staff, so it's very much about raising, you know, investors, raising capital.
Yeah, Barbara, the UK government gave the green light in October last year. There are governments in different parts of the world which are banning fracking. What does the what are the local and the national government saying in the UK? Why are they permitting this project especially?
I don't know. It's absolutely ludicrous because in basically what happens is the planning permission has to be approved by what we call a county council. So in the UK, you know, there's probably, I don't even know how many counties, I'd say 40, 50 counties, but we live in Lancashire. And Lancashire County Council voted in June of 2015 to refuse the applications. So the local council did not want fracking in Lancashire, not at these two sites anyway. And then, as you say, what happened is central government then came along and just completely overruled Lancashire County Council. They said they did not agree with what the council said. And there was a public inquiry. It has to go to a public inquiry. And they have an independent planning inspector. So this has got a lot of people angry because the Conservative government in the UK claim to look after the little people, the ordinary people, and not the rich, you know, and powerful. And yet they're not listening to what local people want or don't want. You know, local people do not want fracking. And I don't know if you know, but just recently the government's own survey showed that 33% of the UK are opposed to fracking, and that's gone up from 31%. It's going up all the time. And there's only 16% of the public actually want fracking. And bear in mind, the Conservative government is the only party in the UK that advocates fracking. The Labour Party, the Green Party, the Liberal Democrats, all of the other political parties say they will impose a moratorium or they would ban fracking outright. And as you know, Ireland, Scotland and Wales, who are all part of the United Kingdom, have all got bans or moratoriums. So it's only England that are allowing this to go ahead, and it's only the Conservative government who are advocating it. So we feel quite angry, you know, we feel quite angry that the local people are not being listened to, and this is being imposed on us by a you know, central government.
Yeah, it's particularly interesting what they are saying, Barbara, that from the UK it's only England allowing fracking and Bill alone in the UK, but also you can say in Europe, because there are governments which are questioning this kind of decisions and banning or putting a moratorium on this.
Yeah.
Barbara, when did you say that the local resistance started there in Lancashire?
Well, there was a resistance from the very beginning in 2011 when, you know, they first started. But to be honest with you, the resistance started in earnest when Quadrilla announced plans to start fracking here in Lancashire. But that's grown because in Yorkshire, and that's the county next to Lancashire in the north of England, most of the sites are in the north of England. So the people so slowly are becoming more and more aware of what's involved. So other companies are saying they're going to do fracking. There is a company called Third Energy in Yorkshire. The biggest worry we've got in the UK, sorry, in England, is a company called INEOS, I-N-E-O-S. I think you may have heard of them. They're a really big company, and they are looking to do fracking in Cheshire, Derbyshire, Nottinghamshire and Yorkshire. So the concern in England is there are lots of oil and gas companies who are waiting to see what happens with Quadrilla and to see if the shale gas is there. But as you say, the worry is if this takes off in England, other countries are going to start saying, you know, is this something we can do, we can make money out of? But that is ridiculous because we've got climate change. We all know that fossil fuel extraction is the wrong way to go. We should be investing in renewable energy. And the British government, or the, you know, the Conservative government, do not seem to have a policy that advocates renewable and a transition to renewable energy. And we, you know, that England is an island. You know, we've got tidal, we've got wind, we could have solar. And this is why we get angry, because they're trying to squeeze the very last of the gas out the ground with all of the environmental risks that that entails, when we could be investing in better technology.
Yeah, Barbara, I would like to speak about it about a bit now. But before that, I would like to ask you, what are your worries in terms of environment, of the effects on local communities about fracking itself? Which are the consequences that you fear that could happen with this?
There are many. At a very local level, people are concerned about things like, simple things like the noise, because the drilling is going to be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So there's the noise, the traffic movements. There will be thousands of traffic movements in our countryside. And most of these fracking sites are in the countryside in England. And the road networks will not support it. You know, the England is very densely populated. It's not like Australia or America with the wide open spaces. So at a local level, you've got things like noise and traffic, pollution, air pollution, potential for the water to be polluted. You know, it only takes one accident. You know, they're going to be burning off methane, flaring methane into the atmosphere. So people are concerned about that. It's very much a farming community where we live. It's farming and food production. We have a lot of beef cattle and dairy cattle here. You know, so it only takes one accident, or it takes a spillage, or for the water to get into the aquifer, for the chemicals to get into the aquifer. We've already had earthquakes, you know, in 2011, so people are concerned that, you know, the fracking could cause more earthquakes. We've seen what's happened in America, in Pennsylvania and Oklahoma and where have you. You know, there's been lots of earthquakes there. So people, when you get down to a sort of more basic level, people are, you know, they just know that this is not the right way to go, that, you know, climate change is a fossil fuel, it's methane, and it's basically going to increase, you know, particularly if it takes off in the, you know, right across the country. It's not going to help us meet our climate change targets. You know, people are concerned at very, very many levels. It's local impacts on communities. You know, there's also things like property prices. People know that, you know, if fracking goes ahead, the properties will be worthless, or they will be, you know, they will be less value. There are lots and lots of concerns for people at all different levels. And, you know, it's just not worth the risk taking. When you look at the medical, the health impact, and, you know, the uncertainty of what those chemicals could be doing to local populations. You know, people are concerned about their health and their well-being. Yeah, there's so many. It's awful. You know, it just seems awful. It just seems to be the wrong way to be going. And people here are very stressed, very anxious, obviously very worried about the future.
I totally understand what you are saying, Barbara. And you were also saying before that England is an island, and you are asking for a leadership of your country trying to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions and to combat climate change. And there are some northern countries which at least are trying to work in at some point developing eolic. What is happening with England in this regard, Barbara?
Well, this is, I mean, they just don't seem to be looking at alternative solutions. The England is very much penalising renewable energy. So when, for example, they want to have wind farms, you know, there's applications for wind farms, they get rejected, yet fracking sites get approved. So it's almost as if there's, my personal belief is that the oil and gas companies have been lobbying the government, and this is about money. It's all about money, profits for the oil and gas industry and for the government to help reduce the deficits and what have you. And that's where I feel it's gone wrong. The Conservative government are very much about money rather than the people. So it's profit, not people. So there's very little happening. But there's projects that have been refused in the UK for wind farms have actually been refused by the government. Solar, I mean, I've just been to Spain recently, and I was talking to a solar engineer when I was there, and he actually said to me that that England would be better for solar than Spain, because even though Spain is hotter, in England we get rain, so the solar panels actually get cleaned. So we have enough sun to generate enough solar, enough electricity to keep us going. I mean, obviously other countries like Scandinavian countries and so on, they're self-sufficient now. So what's happening in this country is basically a disregard or almost that the renewable energy companies are being penalised. They do get some subsidies, but the subsidies are nowhere near as big as the subsidies that the oil and gas industry get. And as you probably know, the government are trying to reduce those subsidies all of the time, saying that renewables are getting cheaper and, you know, they don't need as much investment, which is true. They are getting cheaper and they are getting better and more efficient. But that's no need to penalise clean renewable energy. So basically that's what's happening here. It's very difficult. There are some community projects that get set up, but they're fairly small independent projects that people fund them. Yeah, they fund them themselves, basically.
Yeah, for sure. The support from the government should be much, much bigger, trying to strengthen this kind of movements which are trying to produce energy by themselves, yeah. and in another way, Barbara. But July was a very interesting month for you. There was what was called the Rolling Resistance, developed by the Reclaim the Power, which is the national movement, which is trying to strengthen this call against dirty energies and trying to develop other alternatives. What can you tell us, Barbara, about what happened in July? What was the thing called the Rolling Resistance?
The Rolling Resistance. Well, it was very, very inspiring, actually. It was basically a Reclaim the Power helped focus. It certainly raised awareness. And what they did is they arranged many events, special events. Some looked at renewable energy. Some were events where the trade unions came along. So all of the trade unions in the UK are anti-fracking, apart from one. So what they did, they helped to mobilise people. They got lots of people to come up here to spend the month here. We actually had a campsite where people could stay, and there were three. We actually have three protection camps where people can come and stay. There were meetings, there were workshops, there was training. But they were very media savvy, because that's another problem we have here in the UK or in England, trying to get mainstream media to focus on the situation. It's almost like the government are dictating what gets broadcast on mainstream. So they Reclaim the Power, very media savvy, and we use social networks, you know, to get our message out there. So it was more of getting people together and keeping the resistance rolling along. So it wasn't stop start. Every day there was an action, and there were things like direct action, obviously, lock-ons, where people would actually lock on to devices to block the traffic trying to go into Quadrilla's site. Basically, it was about maximum disruption, to disrupt Quadrilla from going about the business. And in my view, what I think that does, it deters the investors as well. They know they're not going to get an easy ride. They know people are against it. So the rolling resistance was very exciting. It was lots and lots of different people, different groups coming together, all with a common purpose to try to stop fracking in England, in the UK, really to stop fracking wherever. It gave, to me, for the local people, it gave us a shot in the arm. I said it was like a shot of adrenaline. You know, it helped inspire us. It helped move us because it's very, very tiring. You know, some people have been battling this since, 2011? I've been doing it since 2017, and it's hard. You know, I spent hundreds of hours, thousands of hours. You don't get paid. You're doing it because you have a conviction that this is wrong, fracking is wrong, fossil fuel extraction is wrong, and I'm going to do everything I can to stop it. And that's what happened. You get tired. But what happened with the July, the rolling resistance, it just gave us such a boost and made us more determined, and it showed that we weren't on our own. I mean, we actually, as you know, we got messages from all over the world, literally all over the world. There were messages coming in, keep going, stay strong. You know, we got Standing Rock, you know, Dakota, there's William came up here. There were people from all over Europe, Friends of the Earth, groups from all over Europe came. And it was amazing to know we're not on our own, and that it just makes you realize what we're doing is right.
Yeah, Barbara,
we're doing the right thing.
At some point, I think that you really realize that you are not alone. And all this fight is very emotional for you. You told me before that you were in the demonstration today and was a bit hard to be there, Barbara.
Yeah, it was difficult because to see the rig, you know, for all the resistance, we've slowed them down. There's no doubt about that. Share prices are at an all-time low. Quadrilla share prices and AJ Lucas share prices are at an all-time low. But when you see the drill there and it's about to go ahead and it's ugly. It looks ugly, and you see it in what used to be a beautiful field that had cattle grazing, and you see this big industrial process. It made me want to cry, but we're still determined. You know, we talked to people. There were more people. You know, there were 100 people there today who were prepared to come along and stand and block the entrance and to let the government and to let Quadrilla know that we're not going away. We're going to fight on. We'll be there for as long as they are. Yeah, it is emotional.
I was going to ask you, Barbara, exactly how does this movement keep moving? What are your plans for the next future, or now that you know that that they are starting to drill soon, if you need to meet yourselves and take new decisions? How do you see it?
Yeah, well, what we do, we have here in where we are in Preston in Lancashire, we have a community hub. And we've just established a community hub where people can come along and meet up. And basically, there are more and more people coming along who are realizing that fracking is not a good thing. So what we're trying to do is mobilize these new people. So as new people come in, we meet, they join groups, we continue to lobby our politicians, we continue to write into our local newspapers, we continue to try to get some media to put our side of the story. We try to get Public Health England to understand what the health impacts might be. So basically what we're doing, the way it's growing, there's more and more people, and what we're trying to do is utilize those people in the best way and motivate them to help us in the fight. And since I started 2014, there's more and more people coming on board. And it's just directing it the right way, you know, to stop the industry in the right way. And the beauty of it is when we're down at Preston New Road, we have people from all over England and, as I said, all over Europe who come along and stand with us. So it's not just us in one little group in Lancashire. There are groups all over the UK, all over England. And we had people from Ireland last week, Wales, Scotland, who came to tell us about their fight and how they fought it and how they've beaten it, and it's listening to people from other countries, you know, how they managed to beat it, and learning, and all the time pushing back the industry, just trying to deter the investors, trying to get the government to see sense. I mean, what we really want is for a change of government, you know, and ideally to have a government that will be looking forward-looking and to have an energy policy which is forward-looking. I mean, but that's not going to happen soon. So in the meantime, we have to continue and keep fighting on, everybody in their own way, but you know, with numbers, I believe with numbers we've got strength, and I think that's what it's about.
yeah. You before we end the interview, you said before you specially mentioned the groups from Friends of the Earth Europe from different countries. In which ways you think that Friends of the Earth England, Wales, and Northern Ireland, but also the Friends of the Earth groups from Europe have helped and have been with you in this fight?
Well, I mean, the beauty of it is that it's like you say, we've learned a lot from other groups. It makes you realise you're not alone. The other groups like Friends of the Earth groups, have helped lobby politicians, you know, at a national level. People have been there. We've been to the Houses of Parliament, been to the Houses of Lords, and having representation and evidence from other countries particularly helps, because the more people who speak out, and not just nationally, internationally, the more people speak out, the more I'm hoping they will listen and they will understand, you know, we're not scaremongers, we're not NIMBYs, we're not, you know, we've got genuine issues. Fracking is not suitable, it's not forward thinking, it's a backward step. So having these people coming along and speaking out and sharing their experiences with us is inspiring, but it also gives us ideas on how to do things and how to move things forward. And the biggest thing for me is just personally, it's just so good when we hear other people coming and talking and sharing things with us. It just makes you feel, as I said before, you're not alone, and it makes you feel a bit more optimistic. And it makes you realise, if we are doing the right thing, you know, our fight is just, you know, it's righteous and it's just.
Yeah, absolutely, Barbara. From Real World Radio, the web radio of Friends of the Earth International, I just would like to express all our solidarity. You know that you can count on us whenever you think and you need, through our friends in Friends of the Earth England, Wales, and Northern Ireland. And at the same time, express that you are being, of course, a source of inspiration, giving strength to other groups in other countries. And we are going to be there whenever you need us, and we'll be trying to follow those issues and be close to you in your fight.
Keep sending us messages. Send us the messages. You know, it's so inspiring to hear on Facebook or wherever, to hear those messages of support. And we're so grateful that you were there. Thank you.
Okay, it was Barbara Richardson. She's a member of the Rosecare Awareness Group, which is also part of the Frack Free Lancashire. Barbara, you have been very kind. Thank you very much, and keep strong.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by Fowai.